Good morning, church. Good morning.
Morning.
Nice. Hey, we're so glad you're here this morning. So glad to see you. Yeah, good morning, Valera.
Good morning,
so,
Valera.
So, hey, just so you guys can see, you know, we've got a bunch of new equipment, a bunch of construction going on in this room, which is the good news. The bad news is some of the new equipment isn't doing what it's supposed to. So we've got a new projector that's on its way back to the factory so that we can get a new one on this side. So I just ask you guys, continue to be patient with us as we continue to upgrade our worship experience in this room.
Be patient with this.
And with the clickers, that's right, too. All right, so please stand with us. We're going to warm it up this morning. We're going to send it on down. Count us off, Vincent. 3, 4.
Send it on down, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on,
send it down,
send it on down, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Sing it out.
Send it on down, send it on down, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Lord, we're your children, and we are asking for you to send your fire. Our hearts are hungry, our spirits are thirsty. We want to feel your power. Just like the prophets, they said it would be in last days and outpouring we see. Yes, we are waiting, anticipating. Lord, won't you send your Holy Ghost down?
Send it on, send it down.
Send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on,
send it down.
Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on
Heavenly
down.
Father.
Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it fall like rain. As we lift our praises to your name.
Send it down,
send it down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Send it on,
send it down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it fall like rain. As we lift our praises to your name.
Send it on down, send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Send it on,
send
it
down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Say what?
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
One more time.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Amen. Please have a seat. Thank you. Please have a seat. Morning, Chase.
What a joy, Mike. Thank you for welcoming all of us and getting us on fire for the Lord. We are so excited to be gathered here in this sacred space to give God praise and worship this morning. My name's Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a great honor for me to welcome you to Asbury United Methodist Church, and I hope that you feel welcomed and warm here, especially those that are visitors. We hope that you experience the presence of God this morning, and that you have a warm welcome from all of us here at Asbury. I want to encourage you all to take the attendance pads that are being passed around and take a second to write your name down for us to get just information about you that helps us know who is here. We do have a few announcements we want to share. We are in the middle of a great fundraiser for our new church van, and we've raised just about $38,000, which is a tremendous, tremendous outreach and outpouring of support. And we want to thank you so much for contributing. We want to encourage you, though, if you haven't already, to grab an envelope to the right of me from one of the displays. On the envelope is an amount And that's another way in which the van is utilized, and you pay that amount. So we want to encourage you to keep giving, dig deep. We can do this. We can get us a great, nice church van for our church home. Thank you so much for all those who have already given. We also want to let you know that there's a youth planning retreat. All are invited, and it's Sunday, August 7th at 2 p.m. in the warehouse, and we encourage you to be a part of that experience. We also want to let you know that in August, our sermon series will be Lessons I've Learned in Life. We have topics on grace, pride, judgment, and change, and we hope you'll be here then for that. With that, let us all stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
All right, put your hands together with us. Sing it out, y'all.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Here we go.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
All right, we're going to sing that all together now. You came from heaven to earth.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. All of you is more than enough for, yes, he is.
All of me for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
still more awesome than I know.
You're my coming king. You are everything.
Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for.
Sing it out.
All of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
More than all I want, more than all I need. More than all I know.
You are more than enough. All of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you.
Thank you. Morning, Clark. Kids, why don't you come forward? Let's see what Mr. Clark's got for us this morning.
Good morning, kids. Is that everybody? Oh, we got more coming. All right, who's hungry? You hungry? Mike? You hungry?
Yes, always.
Okay, we're going to make something. All right, I'm going to give everybody a bag here. We got a lot of bags. Well, don't look yet. All right, who likes to use their imagination? I do. And pretend. So we're going to pretend to make a really good soup, like the best soup that you've ever had before. So we got to start off with this roast here that I bought at the grocery store. Doesn't that look like a good roast? So here's what I'm going to do. I got to cut it up. Trust me, it's good. You're not making a good face. All right. Okay, now we got to pour some water in it. Can you pour some water in here for me? We're pretending. There we go. Now it's boiling real good, but we need to put some stuff in it. So look in your bag, and one at a time, come up and put it in. And you tell me what you have. Come on up. You got to tell me what you have.
Garlic.
All right, let's put some garlic in there. What do you have?
Carrots.
All right, put some carrots in there. You don't know what that is? What does it look like?
I don't know.
It's paprika. All right. All right. What do you know what that is?
Leaves.
Bay leaves. All right, put that in there. Okay. What do we got over here?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. All right. What do you have?
Tomatoes.
It's very tomato-y. Okay. Now we got to stir it up. Who can stir it for me? Okay. Now how can we make a pretend bowl? With our hands? Okay, hold out your hands, and I'm going to give you some of this soup. Mike, you might want to get in on this. It's really good. All right. Everybody try your soup. Is it good? It's amazing. Now see, our soup was only made because we shared everything that we had. If you'd have just had that funny looking powder called paprika, it wouldn't have been very good. But we all put it together, didn't we? We all put it together and we shared everything. Teamwork, that's right. And that's a good way to say it. And so I'm going to read a scripture today that's kind of related to what we just did. This is from Hebrews. Do not forget to do good to others and share with them what you have. These are the sacrifices that please God. All right, so when we share what we have, God really likes it, and it helps people. So let's remember to share what we have. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us find opportunities to share what we have for others, especially those in need, whether it be food, clothing, and especially our faith. Amen.
Thank you, Clark. Thank you so much for helping to teach our children. I'm glad you got a lot of help cleaning that up. Why don't we go to God in prayer? Loving Lord, we come into this place of worship thankful and so thrilled to have the honor of giving you praise and thanks after all you've done for our lives. For the love you pour into each and every one of us is truly transformative and vital to our very life, allowing us to thrive. Lord, that love can turn hearts of stone into hearts of joy and generosity. It can take a lying heart and transform it into a truth-telling heart. The heart of a thief can be transformed into a giving heart. The heart of fear can be transformed into a heart of hope. A murderous heart can be transformed into a life-saving heart. A hateful heart can be turned into a prayerful heart. When we strive to be in relationship with you, it empowers us to better living and loving in our day to day. God, we give you thanks for the gift of this life. And Lord, we are in prayer for those that struggle, those who suffer, and those who feel lost and that there's not a way out. We pray that your peace and joy would be filled in their soul and they would seek you. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to share with you about the importance of offering water in this season. And if you know of the cooling stations around Little Rock, you're encouraged to drop off that water to them. If you're uncertain of where they are, feel free to bring them to the church, and we'll get them to where they need to go. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful for what we've been given. And we're thankful that we have a life worth living. Lord, help us strive to be more faithful and dedicated to you, and especially in our giving. And may we, as a shared body, help change the world by your grace. Amen.
Through the eyes of man, it seems so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. And so with faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid.
We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive.
God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save.
Call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive.
So breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God. God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. To dry bones, come alive. We call out to dry bones, come alive. We call out to dry bones, come
Amen, amen. Thank you. We're so blessed and we're so thankful for the ways in which God's love does truly change and make an impact in our lives. And now we turn to the scripture, which hopes to enliven us in our walk of faith. And we turn to the gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Hear these words. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all these since my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, there is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. He woke up with sun streaming through the windows. He had just had an incredible night of sleep, sleeping on the softest of silk sheets. And you know that perfect pillow, the balance between soft and hard. You know what I'm talking about. He had that pillow. He got out of bed and he walked into his bathroom, and oh, it was impressive. He had a nice, hot, steamy shower, got out, brought himself up, walked into his closet, and started just looking around, glancing at all the finest of clothing, seeing nice shirts, ties, nice shoes and belts. After he'd gotten dressed, he went downstairs and had an incredible breakfast prepared by his personal chef. And as he's looking at the paper, he reads again of this great account. You know, the reporters like to always have their spin. They like to get in and get what's really going on. And they were reporting about how the religious authorities were really being outwitted by this radical named Jesus. Now this man having breakfast in his nice house, he'd been brought up well, had a great and the finest of educations, taught by the most impressive teachers. And he admired different philosophies and teachings, even though his parents brought him up and he seemed to follow the path just as he was supposed to. But he decides in that moment he needs to talk to this Jesus. He needs to have an experience with this man who's saying these radical things, who loves, who cares, who heals, who teaches and preaches. So he does. And you know how the story goes. He starts having a conversation. He's following the letter of the law to the T. But there's one thing he lacks. And he's instructed by Jesus to sell all he has, give it all to the poor, and follow him. And he can't. He walks away sad. Now, we don't know what happens to this young man after this encounter with Jesus. We don't know what happens the day after, the week after, the month, the year. We don't know if maybe a month from that point it starts eating away within himself about what Jesus was saying about wealth. And maybe he just jumped. He sold it all and followed Jesus. We don't know if he did that. We also don't know if maybe at that point he was so fed up from that answer and so depressed from not being able, as he calculated in his head the amount of money and possessions he'd have to get rid of, that he couldn't truly fathom doing it, that he said, well, I'm just going to live my life as I want to. As we think about this story, we think about that time so long ago, we know that even in that time, there was a great difference between the rich and the poor. And now, brothers and sisters, think of our time right here in 2016. The difference of wealth is staggering. You have the most pristine mansions ever. A dozen bedrooms, swimming pool, nice cars, incredible vacations people can go on. And then you have something I witnessed firsthand, and when I first witnessed it, it truly hit my heart and it changed me forever. I went on a mission trip, and I shared this last week in Sunday school with a young adult class, that we had crossed the Mexican border to do mission work in Rio Bravo. And as our van passed the security point going into Mexico, all of a sudden it seemed like there was a sacred moment, a different kind of a sacred moment, because we all became very quiet and we just observed, watched what was around us. The people living in tin shacks or cardboard boxes. And I know that that moment changed my life, but what changed my life even more was meeting the people. Was meeting the people who offered love, knew greatly of hospitality, the value of family, friends, community, and play together. People, a family that could not afford it, fed 20 plus people and gave them Mexican Coca-Colas. Sacrifice. I also will never forget the time I went back across the border into the United States. And I felt guilty. I felt ashamed. Maybe we've all had experience here or there where we felt so aware of all that we have and own, and aware of all that someone else has and owns. You know, when we think about the word sacrifice, let's just be honest, we feel uncomfortable. You know, when the preacher starts talking about sacrifice and starts talking about money and possessions, everyone just goes, "Woo, yes, keep going, preacher." No. It becomes a caricature, right? The preacher talks, congregation, everybody in the room feels just like they want to hide. And the only reason I want to talk about this morning is that it was so important to Jesus to share with us how money and possessions can steal and rob from our connection and relationship with Christ. We hear that we're only to serve one master, Jesus, and to not serve another. And we all at various points in time have had difficult struggles balancing our money and possessions and the relationship with Jesus in our life. We've all been there. We've all thought about it. We've all wondered. And as we do, a lot of times feel uncomfortable, we still, as dedicated disciples who are willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we must confront this feeling uncomfortable so that we can get to the core of being disciples and being fruitful and how we serve others. We confront it first with honesty, being open with ourselves about where we are right now in relationship to that word sacrifice. Do you feel like, yeah, I really do try to do what I can to serve and give and live as best as I can to Jesus? Or maybe you right now you feel, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe some of us just kind of ignore the conversation, but we can't move any further until we're honest with ourselves about where we are, what we're willing to give, what we're willing to do. I remember when I first shared with others that I wanted to be a preacher, that lots of times the conversation would shift, well, say goodbye to all the great money you might have earned in a different field. You know, the paychecks don't really increase and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, what I've come to find out is that that is a bunch of bogus. There is money. And the way I approach it is that even though we all at one point or another feel like, if I make this money, I know that I can be in relationship with Christ in a way that it won't affect, change, or manipulate my own relationship with God. But that's a lot of testing. Bishops get paid a lot of money. District superintendents get paid a lot of money. Bigger churches, and, you know, it's one of those things about sacrifice. Where is it? And how does it affect my own discipleship? I have to be honest with where we are. We also have to engage and confront our understanding of sacrifice with scriptural meaning. So if we go back to that passage where it said, Jesus said for you to sell all of your possessions, give it all to the poor, and follow him. Well, where are you with that? You're not ready to auction yet? It makes us cringe when we read those words. And this is when Jesus becomes very radical, especially in our environment when there's a lot of wealth around us. Now, we might take it literally. Now, Jesus is serious. We might take it metaphorically in one way, so we're not responsible for selling all we have. But where I come down with the scriptural meaning is you and your relationship with God. Are those money and possessions blocking you from being truly dedicated and active? Just a chapter later from the one we read from is the story of Zacchaeus. And what did Zacchaeus do when he encountered Jesus? He said he was going to give half of his money and possessions to the poor, and then all those that he had cheated in his life, he would pay back four times, which is a metaphor saying he gave it all. He went above and beyond to show his dedication and loyalty to Jesus. So the scriptural meaning is going to come down to your interpretation of where you feel God is nudging you to engage the word sacrifice. And of course, we can engage the word sacrifice and the scriptural meaning and not understand that Jesus himself gave everything. To confront sacrifice, we also have to have the discernment of our heart. We have to pray. We have to know where we are. We have to search the Scriptures, and we have to decide within our own faith, how will we respond? What are we willing to do in the name of Christ? What are we willing to sacrifice in our life for Jesus and for others? You think about the discernment of heart, it might lead us to engaging the world around us in a different way. Just think about how attached we all are, or most of us are, to our phones. I mean, that thing is so connected to me. That thing has so much power over me. If we're honest, it has a lot of power over all of us. So does the TV. So does the comfortable bed. So does the air conditioning in the house. What are we willing, and where is God leading us? And it leads us into confronting it with intentional practice. And this has me remember about the season of Lent. The season of Lent is a season of trying to sacrifice, where we focus and our dependence is upon God and not something else. But we should have learned during the season of Lent about sacrifice that it wasn't meant to just be in that season, but it was meant to be a journey through our whole life of giving, sacrificing, offering what we have and who we are to God. If you think about intentional practice, maybe it begins with being, at the least, aware of all that you own and possess and where you are in relationship to the world around you in that regard. Maybe it means going through all of what you own and getting rid of the things you don't need. Maybe it's acting like Bob Powers, a faithful member here at Asbury, who every year has a foreign exchange student stay with him in a nurturing and loving home as they're educated here in the United States. Or maybe you can think critically about the resources you have and how you might provide that for a ministry that's been on your heart. Remember, when it comes down to money, it's about your discipleship. I can't tell you what to give, how much to give, how much to share or give up or anything. This comes down to you and your commitment to God and knowing that if we think about our money, and we think about our relationship to Jesus, that we want our dependence to be from Jesus and not on our money. And we all know, if we're honest, that money, it does bear weight on top of us. And it can truly be a taskmaster, making us worry, fearful, anxiety-ridden. So here today, I ask you, pray and discern with God with where you are with your journey of self-sacrifice as you are here, a dedicated disciple. And know that Jesus knows it's not easy. Jesus knows it's complicated. And that's what money and possessions do. It complicates everything. It has more strings attached to everything. How many of you are parents in the room? So when you hear the phrase, sell all your possessions and give to the poor, what are the parents in the room to do? Well, in some ways, I think that Jesus understands that if selling all you have would inflict harm or pain or mistreatment on someone else, to avoid that. Know that God loves you. Know that God wants all of you. And that God won't give up until you give everything as Jesus did. So let's give all we are in dedication to Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn. If there are those who'd like to come forward to have a time of prayer, if you'd like to reaffirm your faith or join the life of our church, we welcome you forward at this time as well.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
all our hope is in you. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The Lord of all. The Lord of all.
Amen. Amen. Receive this blessing. Holy God, we know that your love poured out into us empowers us to do the things you have asked for us to do. To go and share, to go and love, to go and give. May we now go out and honor you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.